This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm very pleased to be here today. I'm reporting on research that is being commissioned by communities and local government that, as John rightly says, it's a bit of a sneak preview. It's not yet published. We don't actually have a precise date for publication, but it's expected in the next couple of weeks, sort of early November time. And it was carried out at the University of York by myself and a colleague, Nicholas Pleese. It's very much focusing on accommodation and housing-related support services. And just very briefly by way of background to the research, the importance of appropriate accommodation and housing-related support has been recognised at a policy level for the last decade. And there were kind of three key areas that have been outlined by the previous government and that was outlined in the National Domestic Violence Delivery Plans. The first one was assistance for households that are homeless as a result of domestic violence. And we know from the looking at the homelessness legislation and the monitoring of that, that 13% of people, households accepted as homeless in 2008-09 were recorded as for the reason of experiencing domestic violence. The second key area is supporting people funding, now delivered via area-based grants, for housing-related support services, and that's been a key funder of housing-related support services for refugees and floating support. £64 million in 2007-08, specifically focused on women at risk of domestic violence. And thirdly, and more recently, the development of sanctuary scheme services that I'm sure you'll all be aware of in terms of enabling households to remain in their own homes where that's safe to do so. And we know that there were at least 3,000 cases in 2008-09 where households were able to remain in their existing home. Generally, though, there has been a relative lack of research in this area over the last decade, and this is actually one of three projects that's designed to fill some of these gaps. There is another project that's been published on sanctuary schemes, and a third that's looking at the role, the response of local housing authorities to single people experiencing, single women experiencing domestic violence. I'll just very, very briefly outline the aims and methods. This will obviously be spelled out in more detail in the report. But three main aims. Firstly, to establish the housing options are currently available to households at risk of domestic violence. And the focus of the research was England. Secondly, to establish whether current provision meets the needs of households at risk of domestic violence. And thirdly, focusing on what gaps in services exist. The scope of the research covered the main areas were sanctuary schemes, refuges and other accommodation-based services that might not describe themselves as refuges, floating support and outreach services, floating support being more generally the term used by supporting people, but outreach services are also very key, more traditionally described under domestic violence services. We've actually put the two together here because it was quite difficult to separate by definition. So I'll talk about floating support services, but this will include outreach services. And also looking at access to settled housing more generally. In terms of the research methods, to begin with, the whole project was around mapping provision, and we used supporting people databases. We used the UK Gold Book, web searches and new surveys to put together as up-to-date picture as possible of provision in the areas outlined. We undertook two new surveys of provision, one a survey of local authorities to strengthen the map to identify local provision, but also asking local authorities for their views on the appropriateness of service mix in the area. And we also undertook a survey of service providers, of all the service providers that we could identify through the mapping exercise. And again, we asked for more detailed information on services and also their views on adequacy of services. And this was particularly with the assistance of Women's Aid. And Refuge was also a key responder to this. And then we also undertook some qualitative work, which included telephone interviews with key experts at the beginning of the project and consultations with both service users and service providers, 5 focus groups with service users, 44 women who had experienced domestic violence, and 2 consultation events with service providers. And finally, we looked at other national data sources and tried to find out whatever information we could in this area. So I'll begin by giving a... unfortunately, in terms of the time, it'll just be a kind of an overview of what we found in the under refuges, under floating support, under sanctuary schemes, and access to housing. So firstly, the mapping exercise found 445 accommodation-based services specifically designed for households at risk of domestic violence. So this is specific services. Most describe themselves as refuges. That actually was just over 4,000 household spaces. In terms of the number of household spaces available for the population, we actually used a measure that was first outlined way back in 1975 by the Select Committee on Violence in Marriage report that recommended that 1 family refuge place should be provided per 10,000 people. That is actually a measure that hasn't been taken up by the government as such, but has also been recently referred to in a Council of Europe research. So hopefully that will give you a kind of a sense of the relative levels of provision. In terms of the refuges and other specialist accommodation, we found that this represented an average of 0.96 places per 10,000 people in the population. We found that 93% of counties or unitary authorities had some provision of accommodation-based services. And there were some differences by urban and rural areas, less provision generally in rural areas, as one might expect. I'll give you a chart on region in a moment. And we were able to chart 16% of the schemes were for BEMA communities. Just a very quick chart to show you the regional distribution of accommodation-based services. As you can see, the total at the bottom, 0.96 places per 10,000 population. The highest levels found were in London and also the third down in the West Midlands, and lower levels in some other areas, particularly in the north and east. Obviously, there'll be variations at the local, the lower local level, but this kind of gives a kind of a bit of a regional pattern. And in the report, you'll find quite a few maps that help kind of give a similar to the existing research on the map of gaps, trying to give a kind of a pictorial representation of what's going on. And this chart actually shows the relative level provision per 10,000 people for specialist accommodation services, but not at the regional level, obviously, at the county council and unitary and London borough level. And there you can see sort of the darker colour being higher provision, particularly, for instance, in the southwest there, bits of the Midlands and London. But anyway, you'll be able to see that in more detail in the report. We also asked through the survey of providers about a lot of asking them to identify a lot of details on their provision, and just very quickly, we found a wide range of support was provided to residents, and this will come as no surprise to yourselves. 96% helped with homeless applications. Most of the services were provided by the vast majority of services. There were a couple of services that were perhaps less provided, including pet fostering. I know there's a few people from the Dogs Trust here today, and also help with moving on. But generally speaking, it was a wide range of, extensive range of services. We also found a wide operational area. 70% of referrals were from other local authorities. So that really, although we are very much talking about local provision, we do need to also recognise, as you will be aware, that this is also a regional provision and national provision for some people who need to move area. The majority of provision wasn't always able to support people with mental health problems or people with substance misuse issues. And there were also some issues where 43% of the accommodation-based services had ground floor units, but only 9% was fully wheelchair accessible. Providers, 58% of providers reported that service user needs were met very well, 31% quite well, 11% mixed success. Obviously, that's self-reported, but it's quite interesting because you can compare that to, I'll also report it for the other types of services. And in the qualitative research, again, no surprise, but the respondents very, very much stressed safety features of accommodation-based services and refuges in particular, and also the extensive range of support that's provided to households, to women, and also to children as well. There was a lot of children's provision in the accommodation-based services. Floating support services. The mapping exercise found 301 services, again, specifically designed for households at risk of domestic violence, providing over 7,700 places. This actually was a higher level of provision than the refuges, 1.7 places per 10,000 people in the population. Slightly less good coverage, though. We found that floating support services were operating in 79% of counties or unitary authorities in England. In contrast to the refuge provision, rural areas had proportionately more services than the urban areas. Not by a lot, but there were more services in the rural areas, just slightly. We found 26 specialist services for Baymore households, but the provision in this area was more extensive in the accommodation-based services. Just to show you the regional variation in floating support, again, at the bottom you see the total 1.7 places per 10,000 population. Here it was slightly different, so there was a greater provision in the North East and Yorkshire and Humber and East Midlands, relatively less provision in London and some areas of the East. And again, just a map showing you the floating support services, and again, the darker areas show more extensive provision, again, relative to population. And you can see that there, the darker areas tend to be more towards the north, although still in the west, and clustered around some of the central areas. Again, very briefly, in terms of the support services offered by floating support services, a wide range of support provided. Again, the vast majority of services were providing most types of support, but fewer services for children identified by our research. Slightly better in terms of access for people with specific issues, support issues. So here, 37% of providers were usually able to support people with mental health problems, but it was still a minority. 47% of providers reported that service users' needs were met very well, 43% quite well, which was actually slightly lower than the refuge and accommodation based services. And respondents overall stressed flexibility and the preventative focus as being the kind of the key strengths of the floating support and outreach services. Moving on to sanctuary scheme services. A little bit less detail here because there is a separate report on separate research that has just come out on sanctuary schemes. But here the mapping exercise found 77% of all local housing authorities had access to sanctuary scheme services. Generally less provision in rural areas, and again some differences by region, ranging from 65% to 95% of local authorities in any one area. I haven't got a regional breakdown here, but we do have a map which, very unhelpfully, we actually swapped the colours around here. So the darker colours actually show partial coverage. So it's the middle colours that show complete coverage in an area in terms of sanctuary scheme services. Anyway, again, unfortunately not enough time to look at it in detail, but the report will give you the full details. In terms of the support services provided, or the services provided by these types of services, most commonly reported services were extra locks and bolts, fire safety equipment, external security lights and alarms, and 71% fitted actual sanctuary rooms, which is a safe room within the accommodation. 68% of schemes also provided a support services alongside those security measures, and 49% offered legal advice and support. Access issues were probably, it was easier in a way for sanctuary scheme services. 89% of schemes could usually support people with mental health problems and similar for substance misuse issues. Although in terms of when providers actually were asked to self-assess their schemes, a relatively lower proportion, 40% of providers felt that at the moment that they were meeting service user needs very well, 43% quite well, 16% mixed success. In terms of the respondents particularly valued this as an additional option, but actually did identify need for further development of the model. And this generally probably reflects the relative infancy of these kinds of schemes that are still being developed and still we're looking for the best models of support in the area. There would be a whole chapter on access to settled housing in the report, but just a couple of the headline findings here. Obviously a very, very key area, again, particularly within the context of the spending review. We found that 78% of local authorities had a published directory of services, but 53% reported that information was very or quite good. So there was quite a lot of local authorities actually reporting that information could be better in this area. And that was something that was very much echoed by the service users that we spoke to in terms of wanting better information. In terms of specific housing policies, for instance, on whether domestic violence is recognised as a reason for transferring house or for registering with housing registers, these kind of specific policies in the area were more likely to be in place in London and the kind of the larger unitary areas rather than the district authorities. Most local authorities, or 65%, kind of two-thirds, reported that they were usually able to meet the main homelessness duty within 6 months. That was to actually find suitable accommodation for people accepted under the homelessness legislation. Unsurprisingly, areas with high housing stress found this much more difficult. So London and some other areas reported much greater level of difficulty here. Most authorities, or 64% of local authorities, frequently made use of refuges as temporary accommodation. And respondents in the focus groups overall very much stressed the lack of suitable settled accommodation for households at risk of domestic violence in England in terms of when households do actually have to move, as well as if households are staying put and making sure that they're safe to do so. Just to finalise with an overall assessment of provision, so bringing together some of these features, what we found, what we found is that the mapping exercise, I suppose, is the good news. It showed no evidence of extensive service areas where in England where there were no services. Most areas, most regions had developed services, and there was a range, if not a range, but some provision. However, the big caveat here is that the evidence that there were relative levels of service provision being variable across the country, between regions, between local authorities, and that was for general provision as well as for specifically for BEMA groups. And that was actually evaluated not according to... obviously, you would expect more BEMA services in some areas like London, but we actually took account of the ethnic population in the different areas, and there were variations according to as one might have predicted, there were variations. I'll just show you if what we did in the report is we added together. It's a little bit crude, but we put together the amount of specialist accommodation services and floating support services, and then again looked at it per 10,000 population. And there we found there was 2.7 places per 10,000 population. But again, you can see quite a variance if you're looking at the two services together. West Midlands, 3.7 places, down to 1.6 places in the east of England that we found. So provision in everywhere, but a different level of provision. London had 2.5 places, so it was around about sort of average, if you like. Another important point to make was that we asked about the need for new services at the local authority kind of commissioning level, so asking for the local authority's expertise. And we also asked providers for their assessment of local need. Now, again, this is their assessment, and some caveats need to be put around that. But what we found two things. First, perhaps not surprisingly, providers perceived a greater need for new services than local authorities. And secondly, what we found was there was a similar assessment of need for subgroups of households experiencing domestic violence amongst the population. And I'll just show you two graphs of this. So firstly, need for additional services. We asked both the local authorities and the service providers. And we asked whether floating support, specialist accommodation and sanctuary scheme provision needed to stay the same, needed to actually be reduced or needed to be expanded. And as you can see, local authorities, 39% of local authorities felt that floating support needed to be expanded, 65% of service providers, so quite a difference, but still it was quite significant numbers there that are talking about expanding provision in this area. Expanding specialist accommodation, service providers felt there was a similar level of need here. Local authorities, 31% of them said that there was that from their kind of commissioning point of view, there was a need for additional services. Interestingly, that in terms of sanctuary scheme provision, there was a lower level of need, or in terms of perceived need. 41% of service providers felt that this provision still needed expanding, and 20% of local authorities felt that this was a priority.
Yes. You say you haven't got a watch with you. That would be an appropriate place to stop, unless you've got a very, very quick conclusion.
Thirty seconds.
I'll be indulgent. Yep.
Okay, if that's all right. Thank you very much. I'll just say that one interesting thing to conclude that we found that. In terms of the provision levels and express need to expand services, there wasn't a relationship. So authorities that had more provision didn't necessarily think that they needed less. So I think there is something here about there being a need, and when there are services provided, greater need comes forward. But it also means that it's very important to look at the detail of local provision. I won't go into the last two bullet points, but obviously there are quite a few concerns looking forward in terms of future funding. But flexibility is the key in terms of responding to in this area. Thank you very much.